KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the screening of Queer Core, How to Punk a Revolution, on Sunday, October 21st at 7:30 at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. Queer Core, How to Punk a Revolution gives one answer to the question, what happens when the community you need is not the community you have? Queer Core shows the development of the movement through the rise of artists who used radical queer identity to push back equally against gay assimilation and homophobic culture. The film features Bruce LaBruce, G.B. Jones, John Waters, Tom Jennings, Team Dresch, and many more. Again, that's the screening of Queer Core, How to Punk a Revolution, on Sunday, October 21st, 7:30, at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Law for the People Convention from October 31st through the 4th at the Benson Hotel in Portland. Registration is now open for this 5-day conference. Panels and workshops include Facing Fascism, What's the NLG's Role in Defending Resistance to Fascism? Movement Lawyering for Racial Justice. Disaster Capitalism, Colonialism and Climate Change. What it means to do movement legal support in indigenous communities, and much more. Again, registration is now open for the Law for the People National Lawyers Guild Convention from October 31st through the 4th at the Benson Hotel, 309 Southwest Broadway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And good morning. It's 9:02 here at KBOO Portland, your community radio. Here's what we have coming up for the remainder of the morning here at KBOO for Wednesday. First, it's Lisa Loving with her new show, The Radio Activist, today featuring two groups of guests, one the Uprise Collective, and then at the bottom of the hour, the Civil Unrest Bicycle Club. At 10 o'clock, it's Air Cascadia, and then Flashpoints at 10:15. At 11 o'clock, the food show talks with the folks from Helios Farm about their community-supported raw milk dairy, plus deepening the roots of social struggle through food justice, and we look forward to that. But first, let's get started with Lisa Loving and her show. Thanks for tuning in to KBOO this morning.
KBOO Community Radio. This is The Radio Activist, and today, the Uprise Collective. It's an organizing, information, and education group already live in Studio 2 with us right now, and at 9:30, the Civil Unrest Bicycle Club, where people with disabilities go on monthly rides and feature the Notes of Hope Project, supporting folks they meet out here. And I have a few activist events coming up to share. So you can call our engineer, Tammy, to add your social change event right now, and we'll try to read it on the air. That number's 503-231-8187. And thanks for tuning in. So let's just get right to it. The Uprise Collective is in the house. October 18th at 6:30 p.m. Their event, What's on the Ballot in Oregon? Working to Change the System, is going to be at the DCBC, the new DCBC facility on Northeast Killingsworth Street. We're going to talk about that later. But we're with Uprise Collective co-creators Stephanie Robertson and Brianna Bragg. Gosh, I could have more coffee this morning, but thank you so much for coming out this morning.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
What is Uprise and where did you come from? Who wants to take that first?
Yeah, so we were sitting around my living room one day, and we were complaining about our day jobs. And we were like, well, what would we do if we could do anything? And we were having brunch, as we do. And I ran upstairs and grabbed a whiteboard, and we just started creating. We started writing things down that we thought we might be able to actually accomplish.
I have to stop and say, what was on that list? I'm just curious. You know, so this show is the Radio Activist, and we want people to get active. Yeah. We want people to be sitting at home and listening to this and thinking, I'm going to do a thing. So I want to hear from you. What was on your list? Because that's where you started.
Mm-hmm.
Brianna and I actually attended the School of Social Work at Portland State University for our master's degrees, and that's where we met. So we engaged in a lot of social uplift work during that time. And as we moved back into the working world, because both of us got our master's a little later in life than some people do, so once we sort of got back into the world, we sort of got stuck in that tension between engaging in day-to-day social uplift work within organizations, which have their own constraints and have their own, you know, responsibilities to uphold their grant and things like that. Meanwhile, when we engage in social uplift as communities, particularly as communities with targeted identities, then what we get to do is we get to build based in what our own cultural histories are. And that, for us, became a really powerful motivator to start going out on our own.
All right. What are your goals, though? What are your goals? What's
what
on your
on
list?
The list?
What's
what
on your list of things to do?
What was on the list?
Because, I mean, again, I want people to visualize every step of getting active.
Well, I think Stephanie was kind of getting there with... you know, we've worked in social services for a long time in the education system, and we see how broken both of those systems are. And we wanted to make it better, but we also realized that sometimes making it better means starting over.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to create an entity of some kind where we could say, well, that's how everybody else is doing it. We want to do it different. We want to go back to traditional ways of knowing. We want to go back to understanding our roots and our communities and really making it about who we are and who our friends are.
Right. So when we engage in this work and what was on our list and what we did create with the Uprise Collective, you know, we engage in training. So we do organizational equity. We do educational equity. We do cross-cultural conflict resolution. We spend a lot of time talking about social stories, social uplift in the context of social stories, because story is where we're grounded and how we grow. So we talk a lot about that. We do community classes. And we provide spaces for folks, particularly with targeted identities, to engage in social uplift within their own communities. Because there's a really invasive history of social services entering targeted communities and doing real damage. So what we do is we hope that we remove some of that nebulousness around social uplift work, because there's a lot of jargon, a lot of red tape, and hopefully we can bring it down to earth. The great thing about having master's degrees is that we can do some of that gross work around, oh, grant writing. And the idea being that you shouldn't have to have a master's degree to do social uplift work. So we can provide a little bit of that nastiness while folks are able to do the type of work that gives them energy.
What I hear you saying is that you're trying to connect with grassroots communities to be like a bridge between them and resources. This is what cracked me up, though, because when I went to your space, it said that you guys offer customized support focused on development of the skills necessary to navigate the white supremacist, heteropatriarchal, empirical system. Okay.
Yeah.
But when I looked at your events, it wasn't, they're straightforward. It's like, no, we're doing this now. These are words, they're stacked up, they're large words. But it just fascinated me. It just fascinated me. You're building out a knowledge base, and you're saying to people, come tap us. And so now let's talk, if you just tuned in, this is the Radio Activist. We're talking live with the Uprise Collective, and we've got Stephanie Robertson and Brianna Bragg here. And now I want to talk about your event coming up October 18th, because I'm cranky about voting. I'm cranky about it. I'm cranky about it. And people who know me know that. I question the political machines, and
absolutely,
yet there's no getting away from how our lives on the local level are really especially impacted by the ballot. So your event, October 18th, it starts at 6:30. It's what's on the ballot in Oregon. working to change the system. That's the part that got my attention. Like, how do we use the system to change the system? Talk about this event. What do you want? What's going to happen and who's going to be there?
Yeah. So one of the things, though, that's really important to us is to change the system while also working to create a system outside of that system, right? We have to do both and. We can't just do one or the other. We have to fix the things that we need fixed immediately so that people aren't hurt today, while we're also working on setting up a better system so nobody gets hurt tomorrow, right? So what's on the ballot in Oregon is really a way to kind of like get through all of the political crap.
that people I think get we to, can say that.
Can
I think
we say
it's
that? I looked.
A political term. Sorry, go ahead.
To kind of get through all of that, we've got all these ad campaigns, all of this media that focuses on what measures and who to vote for and whatever, and we just want to talk about what's really happening. We want to talk about what the measures look like, what their implications are, what are the unintended consequences that nobody's going to talk about.
Right.
And make it accessible.
Right. So actually, with these ballot measures, we're going to be focusing on them because, you know, there's the byline that we see in ads about these ballot measures. But we're actually going to be talking about what those measures say and where they come from, who put them forth, who got the signatures for them, and who is funding them, because that's really important information.
This is information that our political industrial complex has actually specifically made obscure. And so that's why it's important. And if people have just tuned in, now Uprise is a nonprofit, so you cannot endorse candidates, I think.
No. Right.
So that's why you're focusing on the ballot initiatives, which are also, though, you can use those as a flashlight to look all over the system. So if you, I'm just going to say, this kind of discussion is really, it's worth having. Snacks provided, kids welcome, and you have partners too. Mm-hmm. Who are your partners and why did you partner with Critical Resistance? What do they do? Critical Resistance Portland. I want to know. You have a lot of partners. This is beautiful. So I want to hear about them.
What's really great about what we have chosen to do is that most of the partners that we have were friends first, right? Mm-hmm. Doing amazing work. And that is kind of why we wanted to get started, was we want to be able to support our friends in doing the amazing work that they're already doing. Because it's not like we have to create something new. So
this is interesting to me because I'm really old. If you listen to me, you know I know I'm old, and you know I'm old, and we all know I'm old. But when I was young, we used to have what we called communities of affinity.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a bunch of us and somebody's chihuahua in a living room watching a movie and going, you know, we should do this. We should do this. That's how things have always. I was actually just talking to a friend of mine who was one of the Jane Collective in Chicago, which was a women's only abortion collective when abortion was illegal. And she and I have been dialoguing about this. So that was in the 70s, right? And she's been saying, you know, this is just women, specifically women, who came together and talked about a problem and knew that we could fix it. And people should be doing that. I think people are doing that. Yeah. And here you are.
And that's the most important thing to remember with social change work. It's not grounded in ego. We are one of millions that are engaged in this work.
And that's why it's important that we get the word out. We actually have a caller. We have Tim on the phone. Tim, what's going on? We have a caller on the phone named Tim, I think. Is he there?
Okay. Am I there?
Right on, Tim. What's going on with you?
Oh, I just wanted to say, to me, these guys are great. They're like farmers of the soul and spirit of the human spirit, kind of a foundation trilogy, pre-trilogy story there. But
I love that.
That's
thanks a ton, Tim.
Need to do, because in my view, all human history, every culture, everywhere, has been farmed, right? In other words, manipulated, pushed towards a certain direction.
And right? That's kind of what society does in a way. Thanks a ton for calling, Tim. You know, and I almost rabbit holed on that because he used the word farmer. And I've been checking out a really deep analysis of gentrification, the actual institution of gentrification, which is what we saw in the United States when colonialists landed here. It's interesting. He's got his fingers on a pulse, and I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But I'm going to honor you, Tim. And I agree, though, what he's saying is that what you're doing is you're cultivating a garden of people. And that's amazing. And we had started to talk about your collaborators. Now, you had talked about the Critical Resistance Portland, but you have another event coming up, I think, next week. How are you connecting with these other communities of affinity? Because you're pulling little pieces of issues off, or actually, it's more like, it's not even the issues. It's more like you're pulling off tools that you could use. You're building out those tools and moving forward. So the event you have next week is really interesting. Can you talk about that one too?
So the events that we have, a series of events that are coming up, one being what's on the ballot, which is tomorrow. And the next week, our event is about working. Tell me a little, help
the
me out.
The protest, Adriana. working to understand the system. It's going to be at Unite Oregon next October 25th at 6:30. The protest, I mean, even how we're looking at protests in the city of Portland, the mayor just proposed a thing that I think is maybe being discussed today, shutting people down from being able to demonstrate it in the street. So the protest, working
so
to the,
yeah,
the
and the idea being with this particular event is working beyond what's on the ballot measure. How do we make ballot measures happen? How do we write bills? How do we engage in power mapping so that we know who the stakeholders are in lawmaking?
Yeah, these are all things that, like, when we were in grad school and before, during our own organizing as individuals with other communities, we learned these skills, and they're really kind of like complicated technical terms for all this stuff, and we just want to be able to make it so it's really simple for other people to be able to engage in it, like power mapping, which sounds like this really weird, fancy thing. But it's really just understanding who's involved in this, in a decision.
I know, power mapping, that is fascinating. What does a power map look like? Are we talking, or is it something we can look at on the wall?
It's something that you can look at on the wall for people who are very visual, and just understanding when we look at a particular policy measure, who's funding it? Who is really against it? How can we influence this system in a way that actually builds some critical mass, because we need to have an understanding of who our stakeholders are and the type of power that they wield.
Yeah.
You're blowing my mind. If you just tuned in, this is KBOO Portland. You're listening to The Radio Activist. I'm Lisa Loving. We're live in Studio 2 with, I'm going to pull it up because I want to get it exactly right. I was talking about how I forgot my name live on the air once, and it is an actual fact. We are live with Uprise Collective's co-creators, Stephanie Robertson and Brianna Bragg. Okay, this past weekend, it's like every weekend, first of all, Donald J. Trump is president. Every morning I wake up and something wild has happened, and I can't, I'm struggling. But then I live in the city of Portland. I'm part of a civil rights movement, and the city of Portland is melting down because white supremacists who aren't even, well, I'm not going to rabbit hole that one. White supremacists are marching in the street regularly, and every time they do, it actually looks like, it looks like the city power structure is wrapping around and supporting the supremacists, and basically the chief of police said on a right-wing talk show things I actually am not sure if I can say on the air here. That's fascinating. She used epithet. I don't know. Anyway, so she basically is saying, you know, that the civil rights community is just a bunch of crybabies, and the police are the real victims, and they're the ones that are actually taking care of business. Now, I have to look at you and say, in your networks, how are people responding to this climate? In your networks.
I think that it's important to remember that folks who come from targeted communities have become fairly well versed in remembering to stay grounded in who they are and engage in healing. And we've been engaging in critical resistance forever. Just forever. And that actually dovetails really nicely into our third event that's happening November 1st, where we actually talk about how targeted communities have engaged in work outside of the system, how they look at this type of rhetoric that comes from police and say, you know what, if you're not going to uphold who we are, then we're going to create systems that uphold one another, right? So we're going to talk about No Dabble, we're going to talk about the Panthers, we're going to talk about Arab Spring, we're going to talk about all of those movements that engaged in real work outside of the system in ways that helped uphold their own communities and didn't rely on systems that were telling them that they didn't matter.
Right. Yeah, I think what Stephanie just said, like the idea that this is a new situation for members of targeted communities is weird. Like, that's not real. We've been doing this work for centuries. Our grandmothers did it, our great-grandmothers did it, and since time immemorial, we've been here saying, like, wait, hold on, we got this.
Yeah, we exist. We deserve to exist.
We deserve to exist. And so we're going to keep pushing forward and saying, like, okay, how do we move forward beyond just the protest and say, like, how do we organize? How do we bring our organizational skills that all of our community members clearly possess and bring those together to move something bigger?
Because I was going to ask you, what is your bigger vision? One thing I've seen over the years is there are strategies of actually organizing to achieve action. One of the bigger criticisms I have of the Women's March movement, is that I'm not clear that it resulted in policy or action. But I don't even want to criticize it, because it's so hard even to just, I know people who can't. Listen, you're listening to me right now. You might not even be able to get out of your house right now. And I know a lot of people. I know a lot of people like that. All kinds of people. So I want to ask you, what is your bigger vision? Mm-hmm. Where do you want us all to be 10 years from now? Or maybe you don't actually care where we all are. And that's fine too. Where do you want to see us in 10 years?
I think that's a...
She keeps pointing at you. I'm like, whoa.
No, we can switch off and on. That's what's great about,
yeah.
about this. So I'm like, ooh, this is something we've talked about, right? Mm-hmm. I think that one of the things that we stay grounded in is that, like, we don't necessarily have a plan for what 10 years is going to look like, because the community should decide, right? It's like we are grounded. We have values that we've created and we published on our website. And we hold true to that. And one of those is communal decision making. Mm-hmm. So we have ideas, we have strategies, we have tools, we have networks that we're trying to build. But really, this isn't about us.
Right.
This is about community.
Yeah. And the other piece of that is that we are grounded in our ancestry. And we are standing on the shoulders of many, many, many people who have come before us, and many ways of knowing and being. And we always remember that we don't ever engage in this work alone.
Mm-hmm. Yes, everything we have is thanks to stolen land and stolen labor. We stay grounded in that message and that belief as we're planning everything. Who are we planning this for? Who's with us when we're planning it? Regardless of whether it's an event or a hired training.
Have you had any surprises?
Always. I am always surprised at what will come out of some people's mouths.
Yeah. And, you know, I do think that our experiences and the identities that we hold inform the way that we walk through the world. So we always remember that when we have those surprises, I think it's important to meet people where they're at. I think that those things come out of their mouths because of the experiences that they've had and because of the identities that we have. And if we stay grounded there and we say, you know, there are other ways of knowing and other ways of being and other, you know, cultural experiences that inform the way I walk through the world. And I think that's a place to start.
One of the things that's been frustrating for me to watch in, I'm going to say, over the past 3 years, in what I'm going to describe as what I think of as the current environment, is that as human beings, I think we're very three-dimensional. Maybe we're even five-dimensional. We're more like rainbows with technicolor and even that barfy shade that's between the, you know, the blue and the red or whatever. But when we there's something about social media that has made us flatten ourselves. And so, you know, we're looking at face. I accidentally started a dumpster fire on social media yesterday. I didn't even mean to. And it was because I just put something out and then other people brought their trauma to it.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. So we have, you know, I keep thinking of like in the old days when people got married and they would tie cans to the back of the just married car and it would make all that noise. We are like that. Maybe a better way of putting it is in the Charles Dickens novel about Christmas and the evil banker man that walked around in the afterlife with chains and stuff, right? That's really kind of more like, it's kind of what we are. And it's frustrating to sit down. It's difficult to sit down in an intentional environment and say, we're going to try to change the world now, and we're going to discuss this. It doesn't even matter what the topic is, because people are bringing all kinds of emotion and energy and even, oh my God, I have to go to the bathroom and I can't take in any of this. Everybody's sitting in the same place.
Yeah.
Do you have, this is the biggest question I have aside from, what are you going to do next? But do you have advice for other people who are literally out there and they're like, well, I don't have a master's degree? Actually, a lot of people are out there going, I've got a master's degree. How do people begin to put their thoughts in motion? when it comes to organizing people in the United States of America in the 21st century. What are your thoughts?
I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that a lot of times when we act in ways that are hurtful to others or hurtful communities, in a lot of ways it's a trauma response because we were marinated in this system, this caste system that was designed to uplift some and push down others, right? So we're all hurt by that system, and recognizing where our trauma comes from, I think, is a beautiful first step. And I think that the conversation around what is whiteness and why is whiteness the default? Why is maleness the default? Why is straightness the default? How did we get here? And how does it hurt all of us? Is a great place to start.
Yeah, I can't say it better than that. That's the perfect starting point, is looking at yourself and having some really good self-reflection about moving forward. You know, like how did it come to this? How did I come to this? How did our system come to this? And making change wherever you're planted, right? Like making change where you're at. Like I'm not planning on fixing the world tomorrow. I'm planning on getting up and making it maybe a little better right now in my world.
Right, but once we recognize where these systems come from and where they continue to exert pressure on our lives and on other people's lives, then we can start to get somewhere. Because I think that when we talk about things like trauma, we forget that trauma breeds policy.
Yes.
Trauma breeds politicians. Trauma breeds pain, you know, and that pain can be individual, but it can be system-wide. You know, and once we start recognizing it, then we can get somewhere, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Last few minutes, and then you're going to be able to go out in the beautiful sunshine from Studio 2. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is the Radio Activist. We have been speaking with our friends from the Uprise Collective. This is an amazing group. Co-creators Stephanie Robertson and Brianna Bragg. Give us in 3 minutes, how are we all going to connect with you and how do we support your work?
We have a website, theuprisecollective.org. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. We just got our status, which is like really exciting. but we're also, one of the things that we did that is really important to us is we are a member-based organization, which means that we are rooted in communal decision making, and it also means that you can be a member of our organization if you go to our website and click on membership.
And members have an absolute say in content. We have member meetings throughout the year, and it's a place for us to get together and think about what we want the Uprise Collective to be, not just Brianna and I, but what we as a community would like this to be and do.
All right. I just am super, super excited that you came on the air. If you're tuning in, if you're listening right now, Uprise Collective, we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back with an amazing group, the Civil Unrest Bicycle Club. Please stay tuned. Thank you so much for being here, too.
Thank you for having us.
We are back in Studio 2 with Christine Watts from the Civil Unrest Bicycle Club. Christine, I was so excited when I heard of this.
Hey.
And you reached out. I was like, what? You said Civil Unrest Bike Club? I couldn't believe it. What do you do?
So we are a disability advocacy group started by me. I noticed that there were a lot of bicycle clubs in the city, and none of them were really just all about disabled people. There are a couple that are about supporting nonprofits, but yeah, my thing was to help disabled people get out there and start riding and just let them know riding's for everybody.
Now tell us about all the things you do, because you do more.
Yes. So we do something called the Notes of Hope campaign, and I actually brought one of those with me as an example. So we write kind words or inspirational quotes on the front, and on the back we put crisis lines that you can call or text, and we litter the area bridges every month during our club ride.
Okay, now you just handed me one of these cards and I almost started crying. Aww. I'm gonna be real with you. Friends, if you're listening right now, this is just an index card, and someone took a Sharpie and wrote, "You are stronger than you think." Flip over. And then on the other side, there's a ballpoint pen, Multnomah County Crisis Line, National Suicide Prevention Line. These are written by hand, right? Mm-hmm. It's not shiny. What is that shiny place you spend $50 and they'll send you 1,000 of whatever that is in a shiny format, right?
Oh, yeah. No, this is all done with love.
This is amazing. How does this hit people? Like, when you do this, what happens when you go out and do these rides?
A lot of people seem to be touched. Like our inaugural ride, I actually had a 24-pack of bottled water. And with every note, we were leaving the bottled water there. And we did see a couple of people who were, during our ride, who were homeless. And we gave them bottled water as well, made sure they were okay and didn't need any assistance.
When did you start the rides?
Started it of August this year.
Okay. And again, as you're starting these rides, Civil Unrest Bicycle Club, even existing on the street is getting harder in where I live, in Portland. So you're actually going out. In the last half hour, I talked about how many people I know who are shut-ins now, people who were part of my zombie apocalypse team when I was young. And we would go out and do the civil unrest thing. And over time, you know, we're all in our 50s or 60s. We get blasted. And we don't want to go outside. For real. We're afraid of the outside world. And you're going out there and reaching out to people that you don't even know who they are yet.
Yeah, yeah. Really, it's for me, it's about giving back. I've struggled with mental illness most of my life. And the last couple of years have been really tough. I've had multiple attempts, multiple hospitalizations. But this is my way of healing for myself and showing others that you're not alone.
You're not alone if you're listening right now. It's got to be crystal clear to you. This is the Radio Activist. You're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Lisa. My friend Suzanne is here as well. And we're live in Studio 2 with Christine Watts from the Civil Unrest Bicycle Club. We're talking about the Notes of Hope campaign. Mm-hmm. And okay, now you said it. You said mental health problems. I have them too. And by the way, if you're listening, I have the best therapist. Therapists are good, and you can reach out for help in so many instances. I'm really going to strongly suggest that you try. What are the obstacles to us out here? You're going out with handwritten messages and giving them to people directly, but we're paying our taxes, and supposedly we have municipal government that's supposedly making programs. What's the disconnect, Christine? I have to ask you, what is it?
Well, the Notes of Hope campaign is pretty much trying to show the community, just in Portland and around the nation, maybe even around the world, that this is what one person can do. Imagine what more of us banded together can do. So I think that's what it's all about. I'm trying to help end stigma against mental illness. I do volunteer for Keep Oregon Well. So I work with them once a week.
I've never heard of Keep Oregon Well. What do they do?
So they are an affiliate of Trillium Family Services.
Oh, yeah.
And they're a disability advocacy campaign. And they've been running for the last couple of years, and I've been working with them since May.
All right. Now, we're talking about direct access. We're talking about, you've just started this. You're just getting started, okay? Mm-hmm. What do you need? For all the people listening right now, okay, what are we asking them to do right now?
Come out and support our rides. We ride once a month. First Saturday of the month, we are in the North Park blocks at 8th and Burnside over by the elephant statue, 1 p.m.
I'm writing that down. First Saturday by the elephant statue.
Yes.
That's amazing. What's your long-term goal? Now, you talked about battling the stigma. I'm wondering if we're always going to do that. I'm looking at you, I'm thinking we, whatever. What else can we do? What can we do in the wider issues? What else can we impact with this?
I think a lot of it is just caring for each other, caring for yourself. A lot of people don't do that.
And it's ironic because we're surrounded by retail platforms trying to sell us stuff so we'll feel better.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of sales techniques that they use shame to try and get you to buy things. And I don't like that.
Christine, what works for you when you're in a place and you have to reach for taking care of yourself? What is your best? Now, I'm already saying you're connecting with other people and generating social change, which is part of what I try to do as well. Is there something else you do? To take care of yourself.
To take care of myself, I practice hatha yoga every day. I meditate. I do something called a power pose, which is, you stand
It's starting to power pose in here.
You stand like Superman or Wonder Woman.
I'm writing down all these things. Power pose.
Yes. You look up. Puff your chest out, stand up straight, put your chin out, and you smile. And the only thing you do for the next 2 minutes is think good things about yourself and say them out loud.
I'm reaching down and I'm grabbing my jaw and I'm sticking it back up on my face. That's amazing. I've never heard of that before. That's amazing. Power pose. We're going to have to start doing that.
Yes.
If you just tuned in, I'm having an amazing morning. This is going to have been the best part of my day. We're in Studio 2 with Christine Watts from the Civil Unrest Bicycle Club. We're talking about her organizing, the bigger vision. Why is it the Civil Unrest Bicycle Club? I got to get it from you.
Well, I wanted something that would make people look twice and kind of be almost the opposite of what we're really doing. I mean, we do run stop signs and laugh at certain laws, but I mean, we're not directing, civil disobedience towards one area or one thing. I mean, the worst we do is litter the bridges with our notes of hope.
That's amazing. What's your proudest victory so far?
Let's see. Proudest victory.
I'm holding on to this card. No one's getting this card away from me. I hope you've got another copy.
Oh, whatever. Yeah. You can keep that.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
I think being the first transgender woman in the world to run and owned a cannabis school.
What did you... Cannabis school? You mean cultivation school? Or?
Yes. Yes. From 2015 to 2016, I ran the School of Pot.
What?
Yeah.
That's amazing. So you have organization. It just flows in you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have to stop second. If you just tuned in, this is the Radio Activist. This is only our second official episode on KBOO Community Radio, 50 years on the air. All we've been doing all these decades is handing the mic to people, right? And so the goal of the show is for you who are listening right now to think about being active, right? Think about how to organize people. Think about how to organize yourself. And that's why I have to ask Christine Watts, okay? I see that you are a serial organizer. I'm not saying you're organizing the cereal boxes or anything like that. I'm saying, what? This is what I want to ask you, because I know that there are people who have been the same place I have been. I've got a big idea. I don't know what is the first step. And we all know we need all of our big ideas. So as an organizer, you must walk down the street and just see issues and think, you know what we could do? What is it like? I mean, how do you visualize issues that should be addressed and what people should do about them?
I find it very frustrating. I have a certain way of thinking, I guess, and I see a lot of stuff that's not right in the world, especially in this country.
Mm-hmm. I have to say this, though. Cannabis and bicycles, right? I meet cannabis, bicycles, and civil unrest. I do meet people, and again, we're talking about how to organize now. I meet people who have wonderful ideas, but they're not necessarily the ideas that people need. But you have your fingers on the pulse right now saying that. So let me shift the frame a little bit. What's your long-range goal in 10 years? Where would you like all of your work, not just this one, but anything you do in the future? Where do you want, what do you want to have achieved in 10 years for yourself, for our whole community?
Well, I think my goal with civil unrest and the Notes of Hope, and just my goal long term, is to save a life. If I save one life with the Notes of Hope or Civil Unrest Bicycle Club, and we keep somebody from getting to that point where they want to end their life, or they think that there's no hope or nobody cares, like, I want to show them that there is hope. There is somebody out there for you.
I love you, Christine Watts. You live in my heart now. If you just tuned in, this is KBOO Portland. This is the Radio Activist. We're talking about activism. This show is only about organizing, and I do have a brief calendar of organizing events. I want to talk a little bit more with Christine and then shift to my calendar events and then go back to Christine, because I have a feeling Christine knows things. That's what I personally believe, okay? Mm-hmm. And so before I go to the calendar, though, there's great activist stuff on the calendar. If you could give advice to someone else who is starting out because they see some big problem, what is your first piece of advice that you would give someone who's thinking about trying to do something about a social problem?
Do it. If you make a mistake, then that's experience. You can fall down 1,000 times, but if you get up 1,001, you're still a success.
All right. I do want to take a few minutes and talk about this activist calendar and then go back to Christine, in part because I'm going to cry now, honestly. I have to come away from some of those conversations. This issue about suicide, right? This is it's a global epidemic. It's an epidemic in the United States. And I'm consistently surprised. First of all, in the past few months, I'm consistently surprised at the female human beings who are major political and social leaders who are coming out and talking about their rape stories. But I'm also consistently surprised at the people who have stories of trying to harm themselves, but we don't see those stories. And I know that there was recently an entire organizing event, a movement that mobilized and did an art project, and it was all done by people who had tried to kill themselves but were unsuccessful. And I wasn't able to get those people on the air, but I'm going to turn around and try to do that. But there's some things that we, in our media, you know what, we talk about fake news, but there are some things that are newsworthy that we don't want to read about. And I'm concerned that's one of those things. And it does make me feel very emotional. And before I go to the calendar of events, there's a book out called How Not to Kill Yourself. It's by Seth Sykes, an incredible person from England. This is one of the most beautiful books in the world. It is by Microcosm Publishing, How Not to Kill Yourself. And Seth Sykes, it's a love letter to you. This book is a love letter to humans. And Seth Sykes, who is incredible, they talk about Batman. They're like, you know, I really love Batman because check this out. Batman is at the table with all those superheroes, but Batman doesn't have any superpowers at all. He's just a person. But he's got what it takes to be proud enough and to be strong enough to stand next to those people. So when we talk about the suicide issue, I just have to stop, wrap my arms around it. I want to say to this microphone, if there's anybody out there in a place right now, you are loved. I don't think this is a casual subject. And we're going to come back to it in a few minutes. And if you'll bear with me, I'm going to go through the activism calendar because really we're talking about, I think one of the most important things that we can do for ourselves to take care of ourselves is to take care of each other. It's ironic. So activism calendar. So tonight there's the open house of the Dismantle Change Build Center. This is what Teresa Rafer was talking on this show last week. It's this new radical facility for people to, it's an organizing space. Okay. So tonight at 5:30 is the open house for Dismantle Change Build Center. It's the official open house, a shared community resource to provide consistent and coalitional organizational space in which to grow our movements with a commitment to abolition in our strategy and vision. That's hecking fascinating. And so the location is, oh, I thought I had it right here. I believe that it is on Killingsworth Street. That's tonight at 5:30. And people who are participating in that are Portland Books to Prisoners, Brown Girl Rise, Critical Resistance Portland, Don't Shoot Portland, that's Teresa, she was here last week, Crescent Shine, that's a retail business, which is very interesting, Urban Nature Partners PDX, and the Liberation Literacy. Okay, so that's tonight. A new organizing space. Tomorrow night at 7:30, I'm going to freak you out right now. I'm going to say Jesus Seminar, One Big Happy Family, Facing the Beast of Empire. This is at Southminster Presbyterian Church. Tells me John Shuck invited me to this, talking about radical Christians trying to educate the world about empire. Fascinating. So that's tomorrow night. Also tomorrow morning is the Get Out the Vote rally with Congresswoman Gabby Giffords and a special guest. This is at Tualatin Community Park. Check this out. This one really rocks my world. It's organized by March for Our Lives Portland at Youth of Oregon United. That's YOU. Have you ever heard of Youth of Oregon United? Me neither. But I think that the March for Our Lives Portland was the women's march, right? Was I just complaining and saying that no organizing came out of that? I'm going to spank my own butt after this show. So that's excellent. So Friday morning, Get Out the Vote. Gabby Giffords has actually traveled to Portland before. So that's really interesting. These people are hella interesting. Youth of Oregon United U. So Saturday, that's October 20th, from 9 to 5 this Saturday, you guys, this is a really big deal. Our friend and compatriot, Sheila Washington Warren, she does the Portland Parent Union, right? This event, Counselors Not Cops, National Week of Action Against School Pushout. This is Portland Parents Union creating their trust circle. This is not a one meeting event. Sheila is weaving together a community of people who are willing to take radical action to ensure that kids are safe in school and kids of color aren't being pushed out. And even there's so many issues there. And if you're interested in organizing, you're interested in civil rights, and you're interested in education, Portland Parent Union are experts in process. They have fascinating processes. I went to their last event like this. It's completely worth going. And you learn things about how to get along. You meet people from all over the country and you hear incredible stories about our local community. So that's this Saturday from 9 to 5. It's at the Resolutions Northwest office on Northeast Broadway Street. And you're going to want to contact Sheila Washington Warren. And that's at portlandparentunion.com. Okay? That's a biggie. If you're listening right now, you think, I need to get involved, you really should do that one. That's really crunchy and difficult, and you should participate. Now, here's another thing. Mondays, there are these things I'm seeing on social media called Abolish ICE Call Storms, right? And at first I thought, oh, that's interesting. People are getting together from the Melt the Ice demonstration and they're talking on the phone. That's not what it is at all. It's something somebody's rolling out on social media, and it's not organized from here, and it's like every other Monday or something like that. And these people have phone calls, phone numbers you can call, and they have a script you can talk from. This fascinates me, and that's why I'm mentioning it. If you see it on your social, I'd love to know what you think about it. It doesn't seem like it can be a bad thing, but Facebook is a Trojan horse. We don't know. So let me know what you think. Okay, so on Tuesday, This is really interesting, okay? Tuesday, October 23rd at 7 p.m., Reframe, Exploring Pop Culture Through an Intersectional Lens. This is at the Bridgeport United Church of Christ, and it's co-hosted by Respond to Racism LO, okay? Respond to Racism Lake Oswego. And I'm going to say something that's really controversial. Anytime I hear people say Lake No Negro, it's really offensive. There's always been black people there. Stop saying that. I'm done there. So, but anyway, here's Respond to Racism LO and Bridgeport United Church of Christ. This is at 621 Northeast 76th Avenue. A Reframe, Exploring Pop Culture Through an Intersectional Lens. That's really interesting. We all want to know who's in Lake Oswego organizing against racism, because that's amazing. And then here's something that we just talked about with Uprise. October 25th, that protest, Working to Understand the System, by the Uprise Collective. That's going to be at Unite Oregon. That's on October 25th. So it's an activism calendar. We talked about a whole bunch of stuff. Maybe in the future we'll put it to music. Maybe we'll pre-record it and we'll sort of boogie dance in the background. But this is the Radio Activist, and we want you to think and we want you to do. I think that's an okay thing to say. What do you think? Suzanne doesn't have her microphone. Suzanne is here in the studio because she's going to be a collaborator on this show, but she's strapping on her her little tiny bicycle wheels to get ready to do that. But now we're going to go back to Christine Watts and the Civil Unrest Bicycle Club. And I had to break away from our interview because we talked about suicide. And yet, I think that more organizations and projects could come forward to support people who are having self-harming ideation. Christine Watts, as you get out of bed in the morning, you may or may not read a newspaper or something, but I can tell you've been to a rodeo or two, like I have been. What do you think of our social landscape in our town right now?
It's getting a little more intense. As a trans person, seeing people with American flags in the back of their trucks screaming racial slurs or homophobic slurs is unacceptable, and I've seen it multiple times just this month. It's a little rocky out there.
It makes me wonder. I have this theory that walking down the street, we're all starting to get traumatized, even people who are part of the dominant paradigm, right? Which fascinates me. I'm not sure when I've seen that happen before, but it must have happened before. I guess that's what the civil rights movement was. People who are part of the dominant paradigm feeling insecure or something and being forced to give up power. But if you had a magic wand, as you're doing what you're doing, you're seeing other things. What other issues do you wish there was another project or somebody else's initiative to help with? I have a feeling you're seeing things, and I want to know what's in your mind. I don't mean seeing things. I mean perceiving reality on the street.
Right. I'm seeing a lot of drug abuse issues and homelessness and just mental health issues, and it seems to all collide. And I understand that self-medicating is a part of dealing with mental illness and homelessness, but yeah, it's not that the money isn't there either. Like, there was, I think, a quote that was $29 million Multnomah County spent on homeless sweeps last year, and that's more than enough money to house over 1,000 people.
One of the things that I think is fascinating and unique about a bicycle project like that is that you literally are. You're out there. You're checking. You're riding the perimeter. You know what I mean? Who participates with you? How many people come? How big is your community, and how can we help you grow it some more?
Well, right now, our club consists of 3 club members, all of whom have a disability of some sort. And that's actually one of the requirements to be a club member. But everyone is welcome to join in our club rides. We do a charity drive every other month. This next month in December coming up, or different, like November, we are doing a canned food drive for Sequoia Mental Health Services. And in December, we're doing a clothing and shoe drive for Unity Behavioral Health Center.
How do you find the institutions that you're supporting, like, and who's part of your community like that? Like, so how can, I'm always interested in how we can, when people talk about who supports you, then the rest of us pay attention to that. We want to go support them too. So I'm just curious, like, if there, as you're reaching out for connections, do you see an area that you feel like needs more support?
Definitely the mental health community needs more assistance. They do what they can with what they have, but it's not enough.
Can we just talk about that for a few minutes? We do have a few minutes left. I just think this is so important. Because I just think, I know a lot of people who are organizing around mental health in different ways, but I feel like the need is growing. Am I imagining that?
No, not at all.
What would make it grow? Why does it feel like we're boiling over? Does it feel like that to you?
Yes.
It feels like that to me too. What is it? Is it the president or the economy? What is it?
I'd say definitely the political environment is very hostile and uncertain. Nobody knows what's going to happen next.
The other piece about it is, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot this week. I'm often thinking just like these really absolute political questions, like who controls the world? That was when I was obsessed. In July, I was obsessed by figuring out who controls the world. But now I'm obsessed by the fact that it seems to me that it's not necessarily our political enemies that have caused our problems. It's the bread and circuses. It's the cell phones. It's the Netflix. It's the Prius cars that we can drive around and say we're not hurting the planet. It's our toys, I feel like, that have hurt us the most. Am I imagining that? Because I know people who won't take their cell phone and leave it in a different room, right? And Christine, you had said, you know, sometimes our retail sector actually demonizes us and guilt trips us and manipulates us into buying things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're running out of show. We're running out of the radio activists right now. But I want to give the microphone back to Christine Watts. Christine, what's important? What should we be paying attention to? And when are we going to hook up with you?
Well, I think one of the most important things is let's start talking about mental health. Let's end this stigma that we have against it and start treating it more like physical health, because we're definitely not. People are getting hurt, they're getting killed, they're being stigmatized, they're being made to feel like crap. And it's got to stop. We got to end this stigma.
All right. Christine Watts, where's the best place for people to connect with with your collective?
So we have a Facebook page on Facebook, Civil Unrest Bicycle Club, or you can join us every month, first Saturday of the month, 1 p.m., 8th and Burnside, and yeah.
Okay. At the Elephant Statue at 8th and Burnside?
Yes.
Okay. And do you, so, but we're going to be heading into the cold seasons. We're still going out there. We're still getting on the bike, right?
Yes, rain or shine.
Rain or shine, excellent. Do you take the same route or do you plan a different route? How do you decide the route? Or do you just do it on the spot?
We usually start out with the Broadway Bridge, but we've been adding a bridge every month. So we're doing that until we hit all the bridges in one ride.
There's something that happens when you ride your bike over a bridge. There's the water does something to you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my heck. Wow. Okay. Christine Watts, Civil Unrest Bicycle Club. I love you. I love you forever. Thank you for being on the air.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And hey, if you're listening, thank you for listening. Get with the Civil Unrest Bicycle Club on Facebook or just show up and meet Christine Watts the first Saturday of the month by the Elephant Statue, 8th and Burnside. Connect with the Uprise Collective at uprisecollective.org. Thanks to our engineer, Tammy Dean. I'm kissing her right now. Also, the KBOO Volunteer Coordinator is Ani Haynes. Radical inclusion is her game. contact her to be a volunteer at this station. Volunteer at kbu.fm. You could be behind this mic. We are Radio Active. Stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted.
This is Cat Meow.
And this is Becky.
And we want to hang out with you.
The Development Committee will meet the third Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m.
We're traffic informed and
food motivated.
And we're seeking like-minded individuals who want to use their rad fundraising skills and talents to
support the station. Join us.
Join us.
Good morning. It's 10 o'clock. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming right up, it's Air Cascadia, followed by Flashpoints at 10:15, and then stay tuned at 11 for the food show. Today, talking to the folks from Helios Farm about their community-supported raw milk dairy. And they'll be deepening the roots of social struggle through food justice. All that coming up on your community radio, KBOO. Support us by going to kboo.fm. Thanks.